Amen. You know, brethren, that's why we don't, by God's grace, never stray from the hymn books, never stray from the old paths, the old ways. I guarantee you, you are not going to hear that in one of the praise courses today. Brethren, that woman, Miss Edna Worrell, must have gone through some things in her life. I'm serious. If you listen to Liz, when you sing these hymns, just don't sing them. Read these words and what they say. She says, when sorrow's clouds o'ertake me and break upon my head, when life seems worse than useless and I were better dead. This is a saved woman here, writing and penning these words down. And I'm thankful for Miss Edna this morning that she was willing to be honest with herself and pen these words down for this hymn. And you knew where Edna knew where to turn to when those clouds were over her head. She felt like giving up and dying. Guess what Edna did, brethren? This is what she wrote. She says, I take my grief to the Jesus then, nor do I go in vain. Listen, if Jesus Christ and his word cannot help you with what you're going through, this world will never help you. Brethren, listen, I'm telling you today, the church is running to places it ought not run to, and the brethren are running to places they ought not run to, and they're not going to get the help they're looking for. It may put a Band-Aid over the gunshot wound, but it's not going to solve the gunshot wound. And Miss Edna knew this. She says, I take my grief to Jesus, then nor I do it go in vain. She realized, I come to Jesus, he's going to hear what I got to say. She says, for a heavenly hope, he gives that cheers like sunshine after rain. I thank God for her this morning. She was willing to be honest with her Savior. You know, it would be a blessing today if we had more hymn writers out there. That'd have been a blessing. Instead of watching TV, maybe write a poem. And then somebody else might put it to music. Brethren, I'm being serious this morning. Where did those saints go of old? Where did they go? No doubt we're living in Laodicea time frame, age, no doubt. But be encouraged. I pray this morning, be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged this morning in what you can find in Jesus Christ. There's none like him. And again, I'm not talking about religion. Religion will leave you empty and dry. And again, you can't do these things unless you're saved this morning. What Miss Edna wrote there, that's a saved woman right now. If you try to do this in the flesh, you're not going to get nowhere. If you're going to do this in the flesh, you're going to rack your head against the wall. It's not going to happen. But if you try to do it by the Spirit and the power of God and his word, the Lord will help you get you where you need to be. He'll either help you through the storm or he'll take the storm away. One of the two. He'll help you through it or else he'll take it away. If he doesn't take it away, then he'll help you through it. You just got to be willing to stay in the boat. Don't jump out. Stay in the boat and he'll get you to your desired haven. Take your Bible this morning. Look at Genesis chapter 9. Thank you, brother, for those songs this morning. Absolute blessing. Glad I could sing out to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He's worthy of it. Genesis chapter 9 here this morning. Pick up here back with Noah. Genesis chapter 9. And I'd like you to look at verse number 8 here this morning. I'm sorry, verse number 13. Genesis 9 verse 13. I want you to look here. For context, we'll pick back up at verse number 8. God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, Now I behold, I will establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you of the fowl, the cattle, and of the beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be seen, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Let's go ahead and pray, Lord. Thank you for this day, dear God. Thank you, Lord, that we could sing out to you this morning, Lord. Thank you for these precious hymns, Lord. Thank you for the precious brothers and sisters that went before us, Lord, and were able to pen down these precious words, dear God. Lord, I pray that we'd allow them to just sink into our hearts. Lord, thank you for Miss Edna, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for her willingness to be open and honest, dear God, with the things that she struggled with. And Lord, she realized that she needed to turn to you, dear God. And Lord, you helped her. So I thank you for it, Lord, and I thank you that we have it today. Thank you for your precious word, the King James Bible. Lord, I thank you that I have a copy of it this morning, Lord, a copy of your word. Not just the Bible, but your very words. And Lord, I thank you for it. And Lord, I pray we learn from it this morning. I pray you'd open our eyes and our ears, Lord God, to receive what you have written in this precious book. And Lord, that you be glorified, honored, and praised. And we ask it in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we looked at last week about how God said that he would set a bow in the clouds and a bow in the skies. It says in verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. We looked a little bit last week about a rainbow and how wonderful and glorious rainbows are. And when you see one, listen, to me, I said it last week, most people that see a rainbow, and if there's somebody else with them, they're not just going to keep their mouth shut. They're going to turn around and say, hey, did you see that rainbow? Or, hey, come outside and look at the rainbow in the skies, because it is one of God's amazing creations. God made the rainbow for this purpose, to show us and for him to remember that he will no longer destroy the earth by water, the whole earth by a flood anymore. So when we see a rainbow in the sky, it's not just something scientific happening. It is God putting that there to remind mankind of what he promised. God made a covenant with all mankind for a perpetual generation, meaning it's not going to go away till God makes a new heaven and a new earth. There will be a rainbow in the sky for mankind to remember what God has said. Take your Bible, and I want you to look at Ezekiel chapter 1. God likes rainbows, and that's why the devil stole it. It's no coincidence that there's a crowd out there today that uses a rainbow. It's not a coincidence, brethren. Why didn't they pick a star? Why didn't they pick a tree? Why not a bear or an elephant or some other type of thing? Why a rainbow? Because God likes rainbows. Take your Bible, and I want you to look at Ezekiel chapter number 1. Brethren, I don't believe it's a mistake. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think the devil is behind these things. And I think the devil sometimes does these things to try to put it in God's face. I believe that as sure as I'm standing here. Why a rainbow? Why try to pervert a rainbow? Why? Because the devil wants to pervert God's throne, because the devil wants God's throne. Look at Ezekiel chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 26. Ezekiel just got a vision dealing with cherubims, which is what the devil was. Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. Cherubims had four faces. They had a face of a lion, they had a face of an eagle, they had a face of a man, and they had a face of an ox. Okay, and if you go through, we're not going to study that this morning, but if there's another instance in Ezekiel where he talks about cherubim, and he removes it shows that the devil is a picture of an ox. That's why you see the devil, and he's got cloven feet. Most pictures you see of the devil that people draw of him, he's got cloven feet, because that's what an ox has. An ox has cloven feet. But look what the Bible says here in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Now that sapphire stone was like an orange, amberish kind of color. It says, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. So Ezekiel's getting his vision. He's looking up into heaven. He sees this throne, and he sees this appearance of a man that's on that throne. Verse 27. And I saw as the color of amber, another color of a brownish, orangish, fire looking color, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward. And from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. This is Jesus Christ, no doubt. Before Jesus Christ, this is before the Lord Jesus Christ became the Son of Man, before he was born of the Virgin Mary, this Ezekiel is looking up there into heaven. He sees this appearance of man, and it's Jesus Christ. And the Bible says when he's looking at him, his appearance is as if he's walking or in fire. Look what it says, and his brightness was round about. Verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Brethren, if anybody ever claims to go to heaven, number one, it's false. They didn't go to heaven. Number two, if they did go to heaven, they would be on their face and would not be walking around through the dandelions and roses. Okay. Most people say, well, my son went to heaven or my daughter went to heaven. They saw a bright light and they were walking through the fields and Jesus is walking with them. No, my friend, that's not how it works. And here you got Ezekiel, who was a man of God. God reveals himself to him. And Ezekiel says, in this vision, he sees the Son of God there on that throne. And that throne is so magnificent. And so he got so awestruck by it, by the presence of God, he falls down upon his face. But what he makes mention of there was a bow, the appearance of the bow in the cloud in a day of rain. He looks up there, he sees the amber, he sees the sapphire, he sees the throne, he sees the Son of God, and he sees what's there, a rainbow around that throne. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And the Lord, this is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel, he says, and he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Brethren, I said it before, we say it as we're looking through the book of Esther, you just don't put yourself in the presence of a king. And unless, brethren, listen, unless that king extends that golden scepter, he just stayed right there on his face. Ezekiel, I believe this, there's no point Ezekiel been like, this is enough down here on my face, I'm just going to get up and face the Lord. Oh no. Ezekiel stayed down there to the rest of eternity. But God said, get up, stand up, and guess what? The Spirit, what does it say? His spirit entered back in, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. Brethren, we serve an almighty God. And he's not one to be trifled with. God, the Bible says God is a God of love. He is. 1 John, God is love. But God is also holy, righteous, and he's a judge. And there's two sides to God. Everybody loves the side of God that seems to be not harmful, and they forget about the other side of God, that God will judge sin, and God hates sin, and no sin can be, listen, God will not put up with sin. But there you have that rainbow that Ezekiel sees. Take your Bible, look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4 and Revelation 10 are the only two times in the Bible where the word rainbow is used. Now, we saw there in the Old Testament, it says bow, but the word rainbow is mentioned twice in the Bible, King James Bible, and it's mentioned in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter number 10. Look at Revelation chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse number 1. Revelation 4, verse 1. Two times in the Bible, you got rainbow, both associated with the Lord, God and his throne, and also with an angel. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And this, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. That's the rapture of the church right there. A picture of the rapture of the church. God speaks as a trumpet, says, come up hither. He meets us in the air. We meet him in the air forever to be with the Lord. And then he says, I'm going to show you some things that are going to come hereafter. Verse number 2. And immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Kind of what we read back there in Ezekiel chapter 1. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Beautiful. Brother, I started to look up some of these stones that the Bible mentions, and some of you might know already what these stones look like. Look at emeralds are beautiful stones. Beautiful stones. A sardine stone is gorgeous. It's beautiful. But God's got all this beauty around his throne, and John is taken there in the spirit, and he looks and he sees the throne, and not only does he see the glory of that rainbow around that throne, he sees all these other precious stones as well, and it's glorious to look upon. Brethren, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man what God's got prepared for them that love him. Brethren, this earth and what this earth can offer you cannot even begin to compare. It's not even worthy to be compared to what God has for us someday when we cross over into glory. The awe struck when we see Jesus Christ and his throne and what God has prepared for us. And the devil tries to counterfeit. Look over at Revelation chapter 10. Look at verse number 1. This is the second time rainbow is mentioned. And it deals with an angel there in heaven. Look at Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Revelation 10, verse number 1. Revelation 10, verse 1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. You say that's symbolic. No, I believe that's literal. I believe it's literal. Brother, there's an angel up there. I think the reason that there's a rainbow around him is because he's got that cloud. It says, as might it come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. Well, what's in a cloud? What did God say he put in a cloud? The bow. God said that he put, back there in Genesis chapter 9, God said, I'm going to put that rainbow in the cloud, that bow in the cloud, so that when I see that bow, I'm going to remember my covenant. And here you have this angel, this mighty angel coming down. The Bible says he's clothed with a cloud. Don't ask me how it all works. Just believe what the Bible says. And it says it's glorious, and he's got a rainbow about his head. Right? Brethren, I wouldn't even be able to handle that. Much less coming before the throne. Brother, all I can say is what the hymn writer says, oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. Brethren, and God help me with this. Brethren, if we take the word of God and if we believe what it says and what is contained herein, why would we want to give ourselves to this world? What does this world have to offer us? Ought we not to use the world to then be able to use it for the glory of God? To use our jobs to then make the money to feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, have a home to have, but then use that what we can for the glory of God? Ought we not to try to use our vehicles for the glory of God? Ought we ought to try to use our voices for the glory of God, our ears for the glory of God, our eyes for the glory of God, everything for the glory of God. Why? Is he not worthy of it? Absolutely, he's worthy of it. And you know what? The devil hates that. The devil hates God. The devil hates the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil hates the Jewish people. And the devil hates Bible-believing Christianity. And he wants to do everything he can to mock it. So you know what he does? He flips everything upside down on its head. He calls good evil and evil's good. I'll take a rainbow that's around God's throne, a rainbow that glorifies God because it shows God's beauty and grace, and I'll take it and I'll put it on a flag that represents wickedness. According to God. According to God. And it's no coincidence. It is no coincidence whatsoever. The world chooses and the devil chooses the things that will hopefully, what they try to do is put it back up in God's face. But I'm telling you what, brethren, I know how it ends. I've read the whole book of Revelation, and God will have his day while the devil has his day today. God will have his day, and it's coming very soon. And man won't be able to continue to mock God and throw the middle finger up at God and spit in God's face and curse God and shove the fist at God. Brethren, I want to let's see here a second. Take your Bible, look at Revelation 13 real quick in verse number 4. Revelation 13, verse 4. Brethren, I think it's already there. I think we're there. It's just not come out completely yet. We're going to come to a point, brethren, it's no longer going to be, we're not going to have to worry about evolution. I'm not worried about the, listen, brother, I'm not worried about the creation-evolution debate. Christians, don't worry. Listen, brother, I believe in creation, so don't get me wrong on this. But we're wasting our time with the creation thing. And I'll show you why. There's coming a point here, the majority of the world's going to know there's a God. They're not going to deny it. They're going to realize there's a God. They're going to know, they know that Jesus Christ is there. They know they weren't, they know they didn't evolve. Brethren, we're getting to that point today to where most people, if they're honest enough, even in science, realizes the insanity of saying that you evolved. Brethren, you want to know why we've never evolved? That right there. Someone explain the beauty of this to me. This just happened? Like all these different flowers just happened to come from pond scum billions of years ago? There is a designer behind this little thing right here. There is a designer. There is a God. This did just not happen. And this is just a grain of sand in the ocean and all the beaches of the world of God's beauty. The patterns. That, brethren, if you want to ever be awestruck, just study flowers sometimes. I told Melanie, somebody gave us some tulips. And I was looking at those tulips the other day and I'm thinking, how? How is that made and how does it stay the way it stays and how is its petals like the way they are? And I just sat there and I looked at it for a little while and I said, God, you're amazing. And brethren, think about this for a moment. If this, hopefully everybody in the room would think this is beautiful. It is. It's very beautiful. Can you imagine again what heaven's going to be like? If this is just what we can see right here now, and this is just God's handiwork and the distinction and the differences between all these flowers, yet all of them are beautiful, yet all of them are different. And that's the same way with believers. We're different, yet in God's eyes, we're all beautiful in our own way if we live and do what He desires for our own lives. Amen. Just like these precious flowers. There's a saying that says, bloom where God plants you. And there's more truth than that we believe. Christians ought to be like this flower, so when the world comes by, what do they smell? Sweet fragrances. And that's how a Christian ought to smell, not physically, spiritually. The sweet fragrances of Christ coming out in your life, just like these flowers that Jesus Christ created to be an example and a testimony to us. There is a creator with whom we have to do. And what I'm saying is the majority of this world is coming to a point they're going to begin to reject evolution and they're going to turn to spiritual things. You already see it starting to turn that corner. This world is going spiritual. It's going mindful. It's going into these realms out there, into the heavens, but it's not according to the Word of God. It's not according to Scripture. And there's devils out there, brethren, and I'm going to make the statement that people see UFOs out there, they're not UFOs, they're devils. They're devils. And the devil himself knows when a church goes out, listen, what they're going to say, listen, the aliens or whatever took them away and that's where they're gone and they're good riddance of them. Or they're going to say that the devils and the UFOs didn't take them away. People are going to think I'm crazy with it, but whatever. They're going to say God took them away and good riddance. And I'll show you this, why I think this. I heard a preacher say it this week and I thought it was pretty good. Look at Revelation 13, verse 5. He said this and I'm thinking, yep, I can see exactly what you're saying. Revelation 13, verse 5. This is referring to the Antichrist when he shows up on the scene. But look what it says in verse 5. Actually, verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon. That's the devil. Which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. Look what it says in verse 6. And he, who, the beast, who the dragon gave power to open up his mouth, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God. Brethren, that Antichrist, that beast and his people, as he begins to blaspheme, he's going to blaspheme God. The Antichrist is going to acknowledge that there is a God out there in heaven. He's not going to deny him. He's not going to try to persuade the people that he doesn't exist. Actually, I believe he's going to show the people that he exists, but I think he's going to fool the people in deception that they can overtake God, just like the devil thought he could overtake God. And so what the Antichrist is going to do with all deceivableness and deceit and trickery and tricks and deception? He's going to fool people into thinking, we can fight against God and beat him. If you'll just join up with me, look at the power I got with the dragon. Look what the dragon's already done. I've gotten that deadly wound. It appears like I've risen from the grave. And you think Jesus Christ rose from the grave? I rose from the grave as well. And we can defeat God and his son if you just join up with me. I think that's the message, brethren. And I think evolution's going down the toilet because I think most people with common sense will realize there's something out there that made all of this. It just didn't happen. And Antichrist is not going to deny it. Let me ask you this question. Do you think Cain believed in God? Absolutely. Cain's a picture of the Antichrist. Cain didn't deny God was there. But when God confronted Cain, Cain got wrathful towards God. And got a mouth towards God and blasphemed God. Am I my brother's keeper? He's saying that to God. I'm surprised God didn't go. Whoop. Cain's a picture of the Antichrist. Here you have the Antichrist blaspheming the name of God. Look what it says in verse 6. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme who? His name. What's the name of God? Jesus Christ. There's no other, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And what name is he going to blaspheme? The name of Jesus Christ. And his tabernacle. Who makes up his tabernacle? The bride? We're the temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So not only is he going to blaspheme God the Father, he's going to blaspheme the Son, he's going to blaspheme the tabernacle wherein the Holy Ghost dwells, and them that dwell in heaven. Brethren, there's going to come a time, and I believe it, brethren, it wouldn't surprise me soon, if people don't start saying, yeah, we don't believe in evolution anymore, we worship the devil. Brethren, come out here and hold us some street signs. How many people ride by, hail Satan? Glory to Satan, we worship Satan. Absolutely. Watch your television shows. You brought it up a couple weeks ago, and you're right, that there's a television show, I don't know if it's still running, called Lucifer. How much more blatant can we get? Right? The devil's not hiding his stuff no more. Right here in Catasauqua. Catasauqua's different. This town here, there's something different about this town. And Melanie found somewhere that within this town right here, there's a big influence people trying to get together in this town right here to play Dungeons and Dragons. Which there has been a huge explosion with Dungeons and Dragons. It's coming back full force. That's witchcraft. That's just straight, blatant witchcraft. And it's coming back into, listen, I saw in some of our, big NFL teams, NBA teams, some of these players there are starting to play this as a group together. Brethren, they're going to come a point to where evolution's no, you're not going to have to worry about evolution. They're not going to deny there's a God. They're going to think they can beat God. That's the way of the Antichrist. He blasphemes God. He blasphemes his name. He blasphemes his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. I got a little off track there, but let's get back to Genesis chapter 9 here for a moment. Genesis chapter 9, and I want you to look at verse number 18 now. Genesis chapter 9, I want you to look at verse 18. Genesis 9, verse number 18. Now I want to put a little asterisk here. What I'm going to say in these next couple verses is not meant to be racial or anything along those lines, just to state the facts or what's there in the Word of God. Okay? So Genesis chapter 9, verse 18, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. So all of us in this room and on this planet right now can trace our lineage all the way back to either Shem, Ham, or Japheth. One of those three. And we could, and it funnels back down into Noah. Now, one thing I want you to realize about this here is that Shem actually outlived Abraham. Shem, Isaac and Jacob and Abraham and everybody back to Shem was alive during the time of Shem. So Abraham very likely talked with Shem. Shem was the son of Noah, and Noah and his, listen, it did take maybe three or four individuals to get back to Adam from Jacob. Think about that for a moment. You're not talking, you got a thousand some years here, over a thousand some years, and you only have to go back four people to say, yeah, I knew Adam, or my grandfather knew Adam. So there was no excuse for mankind all the way up to almost Jacob, and then that's where God, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's where God turns and says, okay, I'm bringing out my own people now through the seed of Abraham. But up to that point, Abraham knew Shem, who was on the ark. Abraham could have went up to Shem and been like, what was it like before God destroyed the world by water? What was it like, Shem? What was it like on the other side? What was Noah, your daddy, like? Your daddy Noah, he had his grandfather knew Adam. Tell me, what did he tell you about Adam? Brethren, that's Abraham. And Abraham and Isaac, Shem died right before Jacob was born. Or no, not Jacob. I think he was alive during Jacob's time. It was Joseph. What, right in there, he dies. Shem dies. Put that thing in perspective of who he could have talked to find out what the truth is. Brethren, it's no different with us today. If people want to know truth, there's people that people can go to find out what truth is. People that have a connection through the Holy Spirit of God to Jesus Christ. Oh, I believe that sure as I'm standing here. God doesn't leave himself without a witness. Though it may seem like Elijah said that there's none and he's the only one left, no, God says, I got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. There's still a witness out there. Not a very big witness, but the witness is there if you want it. If you want to know truth, it's there. It might not be as bright as we'd like it to be, but it's there if you want to find it and you want to see it. And if Abraham and Isaac and Noah or Jacob want to know truth about, is there really a God? Did God really create the world? All they got to do is go talk to Shem. Shem's got a connection way back and can testify to what God had done. Now, you have three individuals I said here, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. To this day, like I said, all men can trace their beginnings back to Noah and his three sons. Now, when Noah gets off this ark, Shem is going to head, he's going to head west. He's going to start heading towards China. He's going to start heading towards India. He's going to start heading that direction. Heading east. Southwest, Ham is going to start heading. That's down to the continent of Africa. Shem goes to the continent of Asia and to that direction. Ham goes south, west, down into the continent of Africa. And then Japheth goes north, northeast, up into the continent of Europe and Russia and that area up there. Now, part of Russia kind of, I think, starts mixing in with China and that area over there. But from Moscow west, you got Japheth for the most part. So you got them going in three directions. Boom, boom, and boom. Out from one area right there near Israel, Mount Ararat, in that little section there, somewhere in there, they start branching out. Three young men with their wives. Shem, that's your Semitic race. It's a member of any kind of a number of peoples of ancient southwestern Asia, including the Akkadians, Phoenicians, Hebrews, and Arabs. So you start going, you start heading west. No, east. Why can't we? Heading east. Listen, you're going to run into the Semitic race. You go down towards Africa, you're going to hit the Hamitic race. That's African people who occupy the Horn of Africa, chiefly Somalia and Ethiopia, Western Sahara, and parts of Algeria and Tanzania. They are believed to be the original settlers of North Africa. And then you have the Japhetic race. That's the Caucasians of Europe and some adjacent parts of Asia. All right? Now listen, there is no denial this morning that there are differences between those three races. There is a difference. And God made each one of them, and each one of them with their differences. You look just at the music. You go down south to Africa, and African-American and African type of music. It's got a lot of beats to it. It's got a lot of rhythm to it. It's got a lot of movement to it. It's very a sensual type of thing. Your R&B, your hip-hop, your jazz, that's all Hamitic. Then you go to the east and you get the Shemites or the Semitic. That's more spiritual type of music. Listen to some music in India. Ding, bing, dong, ding. And I'm not making fun. But I'm serious. It's more spiritual. Listen, those over in that area, they're more spiritual. They're thinking about what does this mountain mean? And what spiritualities can I pull out from this mountain? You have the Buddhists, you have the Hindus, and they sit there and they meditate, and they're spiritual people. And their music tends that way. And then you go up north into the east or west, and you got Japheth. And what is it? AC/DC, pillage and plunder, rock and roll, heavy metal. I'm coming in and I'm taking everybody's heads off and I'm taking you over and I'm taking everything you got. Japheth is, I want to conquer the world. There ain't nobody, and again, this is not saying anybody's better or worse than anybody. But you don't have nations in Africa and black men saying, I want to conquer the world. That's not how God made them. But God made the Japhetic race. I'm going to conquer every mountain I see, every river I see, every ocean there is. I'm going to find out what's over Antarctica. Listen, I'm reading a book right now on Ernest Shackleton. Does anybody know who Ernest Shackleton is? He wanted to cross the whole continent of Antarctica. And it was back in 1914, he tried to do it, and he was on a ship called Endurance, and as they were going down there, the ship got stuck and got frozen into the sea. And they were stuck there. And it's an amazing story how Ernest Shackleton rescued all his crew. It's an amazing story. But anyways, this is not a knock on any race, it's not a knock on any culture, but there was not one black man on that boat. You know why? Because they don't like water. Most of my black, they don't want to be near water. You go down to South Carolina, I'm not getting on that boat. And some of my friends would joke with each other about it. Like, I'm going to take you out in a canoe. And he'd be like, no, you ain't taking me out in no canoe. I ain't getting no near water, man. It's a fact, brethren. And you see it right here in Genesis. And I'm saying this again, so anybody could go out this doors and thinking, well, I'm putting down one race over the other. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to show you that there are differences in the races. There's differences there. And to deny it, you're denying the Word of God. Ernest Shackleton, when he put out the advertisement for men to come on that ship and go with him, basically that advertisement says, you're probably not going to come back alive. And guess what? All the white men were like, sign me up for it, because they're crazy. The Semitic people are like, nope, we got brains, we're fine right here. You go down there and we'll learn from you. The white man's like, we're going to go down there and we're going to conquer it, even if we freeze to death and don't come back. Brother, I'm sure it's happened, but I like to watch a lot of documentaries on Mount Everest. You don't see a lot of black men climbing Mount Everest. And again, it's not a knock on that race. They're like, you're crazy. You're a crazy white man to go up on that mountain. You're crazy. Why would I want to go up there and freeze just to say that I got to the top of a mountain and come back down? But the white man's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to conquer the mountain to do what? To come back down and say I did it. Right. What did you accomplish? I know there's no oxygen up there. And it's really cold. I'm serious, brethren, and some of these things are funny, but God established that, and you see it in your Bibles. And neither one of them are better than the other, but to deny differences is to deny the Word of God. And you have to keep these things in the back of your mind as you deal with different types of brethren. Right? Well, they're not like me. Well, exactly. But is it sin? That's where a lot of missionaries run into trouble. they go to different countries and they want to make the country they're going to, or a group of people they're going to be white Americans. No, let them be who they are. That's their culture. Now, if there's sin involved, God trumps any culture. Okay? Holiness trumps any culture if it's sin. But if it's not sin and it's just their culture, let them be who God created them to be. And don't try to make them like you. And sometimes we try to do that. We want everybody to be just like us, and God didn't create us that way. That's what it right here proves my point again. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All beautiful, all created by God, but all different. Here again, brethren, you have your three and one and one and three. You have a trinity right here. All from one, Noah. You have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Brethren, it's all through the Bible. To deny a trinity, brethren, you got... You want to know why there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? All three are one, and one and three. You have pictures everywhere in this world. You have water, solid, liquid, vapor. All three different, but all three the exact same thing. That's three and one, one and three. Reality. Brethren, what we're living in right now is reality. But reality is made up of three and one and three. Time, space, and matter. Time is one thing, but it's made up of three things. Past, present, future. Matter is one thing made up of three things. Solid, liquid, gas. What was the other one I said? Time, space, matter. Space, height, width, depth. Three and one, one and three. You see it, brethren, it's everywhere. God is everywhere. His fingerprint is on everything if you just look. If you just look. And right here, you got a picture of the Trinity. The three and one, one and three. And they're all the same, but they're not. They're all different, but they're all the same. They're all mankind. The Bible says that we all have one blood. One blood, all of us. I don't care what race you are. You got a body, soul, and spirit. And no race is better than any other race. But to deny that there's differences, you're not reading your Bible. Now look here. I'm going to close out with this next statement here. Look what it says in verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began... we're not going to get to it this morning. I'll close right here because it's further down than I thought. I forgot. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for this day, dear God. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Thank you for this precious book, Lord. Thank you for your love towards us. Thank you, Lord. God, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord, for our differences. Lord, I'm thankful, dear God. Lord, it's one of my favorite things to do is to travel around to different countries. I love to travel around and see different countries, Lord. And Lord, I love to see the differences of cultures and the way people do things and what they eat and how they conduct themselves. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the differences that we can see. But Lord, help us as Christians, as believers, no matter what country we're in or what country we're from, Lord, that we would use our gifts and our talents and the things that you've given us, Lord, for your glory and your honor. Lord, I believe there's some things the Semitic race can do that the Japhetic race can't. The same with the Japhetic and the Hamitic. Lord, all of us, Lord, you made us different, but we're the same, dear God. Help us to use these differences for your glory and for your honor and to magnify you. Thank you for this precious book. Thank you for this time this morning, Lord. I pray that some of these things made sense. If they didn't, dear God, I pray you'd help, Lord, people to understand, Lord. And if I need to correct anything, Lord, I pray you'd reveal it to me, Lord. It's where I got to make it right. Lord, help us to learn from this precious book and apply it. We love you this morning. We pray these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.